The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Dooley Reviews, a show where we sit down with one comic and we talk about it in detail. I am Stephen Schlager. You can follow me at Major Spoilers on Twitter. Over there is Matthew Peterson. Hello, Matthew.
Hello. You can follow me probably from space.
Maybe. You can follow him on Twitter at Mighty King Cobra. This week, it's a brand new season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's only been three seasons in the last 10 years.
Is that how many that they've done?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I knew they did...
They did season 8, which was the first one.
And that was the big to-do.
Right, and that ran like 36 issues.
Oh, really? 36, okay.
And then they did season 9, which had just ended, which I want to say was closer to 24 issues.
Okay.
But season 8, I mean, I kind of felt like it may have overstayed its welcome a little bit
long, yeah.
Yeah.
So I read about, I don't know, up to the part where Dracula showed up. What was that in season 8? With
that would be in the mid-teens, 14, 15s. Yeah.
That's kind of where I dropped out after that Dracula one. I mean, Buffy is a good series. I've always liked Buffy a lot. I thought there were some great characters, some great writing, especially when Joss was at his peak on that series, on the television series. And then, you know, by the time it dumped off of, what'd it go, from WB to CW, whatever that was in its last season or two, it just, for some reason, didn't feel right, especially with Angel on a whole other network. And, you know, you couldn't have Cordelia jumping back and forth between episodes, which is always a shame.
Well, he had his own show. They did what they could.
Yeah. So I'm not really familiar with everything that's gone on. I knew Magic went away and they brought Magic back and things have been kind of wicky and the wacky woo as far as the Buffy universe goes. And now we get to this point in season 10 where I'm guessing we're opening where the last season left off with...
Correct.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Zombie vampires.
Zompires,
which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is kind of a new thing. Not in just the Buffy universe, but in pop culture in general, where you're starting to see zombies and vampires mixed together. And if I'm not mistaken, George Romero's Empire of the Dead series from Marvel actually has zombie vampires in it.
Interesting. The zompires showed up in season 9. Of Buffy previously in the last chunk of stuff. And the thing about the zompires that kind of annoys me, I really rather hate the name zompire. I don't know if it's just me, but it's one of those things where no matter what you do with it, it's still named zompire and I get kind of irritable. But I don't know.
Oh, here we go. So George Romero's Empire of the Dead is it's zombies versus vampires with humans caught in the crossfire. Welcome to New York years after the eruption of the undead plague. It's also roaming with vampires ruled by vampires filled with roaming zombies.
Hmm.
So it's not quite the same.
Not as a good place to be a human.
Zompires. So what's the zompires shtick? They're just brainless monsters that just want to feed on blood that you can't. Yeah, I mean, obviously you can kill them.
Yes, they are zombies, sort of. And vampires, sort of, and they can be, you know, stabbed in the heart and their heads chopped off and dusted the way a vampire can. But they are mindless hordes like a zombie.
Ah, I see. Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, that, you know, if you want to think of zombies or I'm sorry, as vampires as, you know, not the cunning Bram Stoker's Dracula kind of characters where they're just out there to suck blood and kill you. And, you know, in some of the early episodes of Buffy, that's kind of how vampires were portrayed more bloodlust than scheming and conniving, at least in the early
Spike
ones that had turned
up.
Yeah, then Spike showed up and apparently he got his soul back. And
yes, twice.
Now he and Buffy are getting it on.
Well, yeah.
And Xander and Buffy's sister are getting it on.
Well, they're acting weird, too. At the end of season 9, Xander had basically betrayed Buffy to the big bad in the hopes that it would save all of their lives. So I'm not sure if it ended his relationship with Dawn, but it's definitely strained.
Yeah, never liked Dawn.
Well,
it's just my little bit. So, but when did Xander start talking with Anya, the ghost of his dead ex-fiance?
First I've heard of it.
That's pretty interesting.
Yep.
Now, Dark Horse has been doing a couple of, well, IDW was doing a Angel series.
Right.
And now Dark Horse has Angel and Faith as a series
Angel
going
on.
Angel
and Faith did 24 issues as well.
Okay. And I don't know if this issue ties in. I mean, my guess is that the universe, the Buffy universe, is now more integrated than it ever has been before, because here we have an appearance of Faith right at the end of the episode or issue.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, well, we were in England, and, you know, there's no editor's box that says, be sure to read Angel and Faith, issue number 22 on sale now, the editor.
Right. Well, Angel and Faith ended at the same time Buffy season 9 ended.
Okay.
So, both of those books have gone on the hiatus as they relaunch.
Okay. And so, it turns out that Faith has come back with three other Slayers that we've seen before.
Yep.
Or at least that I'm familiar with.
Kennedy.
Yeah. Who's a little bit of wacky in the wiki woo in herself.
Well, Kennedy is Willow's ex, and she's very angry.
Yeah. And then you have a young boy that's casting spells.
Yes.
Turns out this young boy, dun dun dun, a little bit of spoiler action, but the issue's already been out. It's Giles.
Rupert Giles. He was brought back in the last issues of Angel and Faith.
Now, didn't he die at one point, I thought?
Yes, he died at the end of Buffy season 8 when they shut off all the magic.
Okay.
And then he was dead throughout season 9, but the thing about
magic?
Angel and Faith that you find is that Angel was somehow, I'm going to put this in nerd terms, you'll understand. Basically, Angel was carrying Giles's Katra, and they had to go back to the Genesis planet and find baby Giles, see? Nothing? Okay.
No, I know what you're talking about. It just seems a little bit crazy. Now, I know we're talking about vampires and zombies and zompires and magic
and
witches and all that kind of stuff that goes on in the Buffy universe. So this shouldn't be a big surprise to me, but I was rather taken aback by seeing a young Giles running around and saying, I wish you would all pay attention to me.
Hello, I am the one
that lived.
Appreciato.
It does feel a little bit Harry Potter-ish.
A little bit, yeah. And there is that wonderful moment when baby Giles shows up and starts blasting things, and Willow's like, somebody tell that kid you don't have to cast spells in dead languages anymore. And he's like, well, as long as I know Latin, I'll use it. Thank you very much. And he makes fun of her pronunciation, and everybody realizes, is it Giles?
Yep. And there's a good little heartwarming moment between Buffy and Giles at the end, which I really like.
Yes, it's a pretty lovely moment.
Yeah.
And I think that the Harry Potter parallels are intentional.
Do you think to draw in the Harry Potter crowd?
No.
Or do you
think
it's just the boy wizard, the boy who lived?
I think it's one of those things where they're obviously walking on Harry Potter turf. I mean, he's basically a 10 or 12 year old wizard who's English, who wears the glasses, who here is wearing something that looks an awful lot like a school uniform with the pinstripe pants and the vest and the tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they did that to kind of call out that they know they're on that turf and everybody's aware of it, and let's move on.
Right. You know, now, as far as art goes, I mean, Buffy does not look like Sarah Michelle Gellar 100%, but you can tell that it's Buffy, and you can tell which one's Dawn and Xander. And certainly Spike looks a lot more like the actor that he portrays.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew was one of the bad guys way back in the TV series, right? One of the terrible three,
he was
the Legion of Doom.
The terrible trio.
Yeah, the terrible trio.
He had a full scale face turn in the last season.
Yeah, in the last season. Yeah.
And then he was instrumental in season 8 of Buffy and either season 9 of Buffy or all of Angel and Faith. But Andrew has kind of made himself a thing.
He's the one that I have the most trouble remembering and reconnecting with, because I seem to remember him having black hair.
You may be thinking of Jonathan.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Okay. Because Andrew had a very thin face and always had. He wasn't quite blonde, but he had light hair.
Okay, now I know who it is. Now I know who it is. Okay.
But yeah, Andrew doesn't necessarily look like Andrew. The previous volumes of Buffy were mostly drawn by, and I'm going to butcher his name because I do the over-enunciation. I think it's José Gentil, who has a very French name. This is
Christos Gage, isn't it?
Well, Christos Gage in the writing. This is the art team, Rebecca Isaacs, who did all of Faith and Angel and Faith.
Ah, okay.
So I'm wondering if, Gentil, I think, is actually drawing the Serenity adaptation, the ongoing Serenity book for Dark Horse 2. Mm-hmm. So he may have just moved on.
Yeah, I really like the art from Rebecca Isaacs.
I do. And, you know, if you look at the title page, you can see a clear Sarah Michelle Gellar vibe in Buffy.
I think the hardest thing for Sarah Michelle Gellar is the nose.
Yes, it's nearly impossible to draw Sarah Michelle Gellar. And more importantly, a year or two has passed for Buffy. So we're looking at a 23-year-old Buffy.
Right.
But Sarah Michelle Gellar is nearly 40.
Man, really?
Because 10 years have passed for us since the show went off the air, pretty much. Or darn near 10 years. So, I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar no longer looks like Buffy. As terrible as that is to say.
Yeah. She was born in 77. Wow.
Yeah, so she's going to be 35, 36. And you and I look at this and go, yeah, this was just yesterday. But the kids in the audience, like Zach, were like 5 when this show went off the air or something.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, you know, we talked way back in the day when season 8 first kicked off. And it was a big to-do. And everybody was excited. But it was already 4 or 5 years after the series went off the air.
Right.
And we wondered then, and obviously the sales were really, really good for Buffy initially, because it was bringing in that Buffy crowd. And I haven't looked at, you know, the top 300 comics for February. Now, obviously, there has been no Buffy in February. It'll be interesting to see where this ranks in that top 300 list, because there was a time where Buffy was always in the top 10 in that first year of release of the print publication.
Yeah. Well, and season 8 was a big deal. And I think the main problem that people ran into is when you are watching a weekly television show, you have, 26 episodes and a break or 15 episodes and a break. Season 8 was 36 issues from 2007 to, 2011. And it started really big and really blasted. Everybody was like, our Buffy is back and we love our Buffy.
Right.
But people aren't used to the legwork involved in subscribing to a monthly comic book series. And I think that's probably how it fell off. But there was a time when Buffy was one of our top selling books.
Mm-hmm. And it probably isn't now, though, just because of what you said, people don't have that commitment to buying. I wonder if that's changed at all. And I really wish we could get a hold of digital circulations, although I've generally been told it's about a third of what the print circulation is. But now Comixology, now granted, Dark Horse Comics are not on Comixology. They have their own app for that. Right. The Dark Horse one does not have a subscription base. Comixology now has a thing where you can subscribe to a book monthly and
pre-order.
Yeah, pre-order stuff. And that's what I do now for several of the books that I enjoy, which even though I'm behind on, I've already purchased them and they're just waiting for me to download when I get to them. Batman, Flash, you know, those kinds of things. I wonder if people would be more inclined to do that if Dark Horse did that with Buffy and really did a big push, you know, a big marketing push to get this out there to say, hey, pre-order Buffy, pre-order the entire 12-issue season or the first half of the season or whatever it may be.
Well, I don't know. I think Buffy sales are solid in a way for Dark Horse to where they're selling decent numbers and they're selling the collections sell pretty well as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everything is collected in the trade paperback edition. So, I mean, they've come back to this. They've been publishing Buffy pretty much continuously since 2007. And I guess they had the license before that. But they've been doing this, I guess, this canonical Buffy continuation since 2007.
Yes, and I like that. I like that a lot.
I do, too.
I mean, some people don't, right?
Problems. I mean, oh, yeah. There are people who hate the fact that this is official Buffy, mostly because, everybody
the TV
has
show
their
isn't
idea.
Coming back, right? I mean, if you're saying that this is canonical, and then unless they pull some big Veronica Mars thing, the series isn't going to be back on TV or in movie form. And so right. all you're left with is the comic. And I think by kind of stating that, people have less hope that they're going to see live action stuff anytime soon.
But also having a continuation that is considered to be quote unquote official means that the things that you love that aren't a part of the official continuation, you have to deal with the fact that those aren't quote unquote
real. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you want Angel and Buffy back together happily ever after, that's not happening here.
No.
So uh-huh. it can be frustrating. And, you know, if you want Buffy and Spike together, you may get that here, but I'll guarantee you that by the end of this series, something's up with that. You know, there are consequences and there are moments here that feel very comic book centered, and that can also affect people's enjoyment of the story. I know that in season 8, the big bad was a villain called Twilight.
Right.
Meta statement. But Twilight had Kryptonian powers for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's power set was amped up in season 8 to where at one point Buffy was flying around with Kryptonian level power.
Yeah, something up in the Buddha temples or wherever that she was at.
Yeah. Something you wouldn't be able to get away with in a weekly series on the WB. You mm-hmm. wouldn't have the budget for it.
No.
And there were people who felt betrayed by that. People who dropped the book.
But because that they was felt, Joss Whedon involved in that directly. He had I think he still has approval on everything that goes on in these stories.
Yes, I'm sure one of his brothers is writing it directly. That's Maybe. Generally what happens. But it's the thing where you as a reader, you as a viewer have in your mind an expectation of what Buffy is and what it can be. And I think there are people who were very much enamored of TV Buffy.
Oh, sure.
Who, when it got translated into comics and had that comic edge to it, thought, well, this is not my Buffy. This is not real Buffy anymore. And, you know, more power to them. You have the right to not follow anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that you should ignore any parts of canon you don't like. Just, you know, don't beat other people over the head with it.
Well, and so, you know, here's the best part about what this story has in it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I dropped off in about mid to late season 8, whatever that was.
Right.
I don't think I read any season 9. If I did, it was just by accident or in passing.
Right.
But I jump into this first issue and it's like, okay, with the voiceover narration that Buffy and Spike and Xander are doing, I know exactly what's going on and mm-hmm. I don't need to go back and reread anything. So this, I think for Buffy fans who have lapsed and who want to kind of get their Buffy fix, but they're afraid that, oh, I've missed out on something. I think you can get into this with very little difficulty. And, I think it was a good, solid story.
Yes, this is definitely an interesting take. And I think that if you are someone who loves Buffy, this is definitely going to be your speed. Now, I dropped out of Buffy season 9 at one point, mostly due to monthly purchasing power issues. So I'm not sure exactly of how everything wrapped up in season 9, but yeah, I picked up pretty well. This issue gives you what you need to know. It establishes the new threat, the status quo. It shows you everything you need to know, and it gives you the moments that say, hello, I am Xander's dead ex-wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't feel awkward. All of the exposition feels pretty natural. And that beautiful moment where Xander is, you know, killing zombies with a tanning bed.
Oh, yeah.
How did they not think of that before?
Yeah, exactly. I guess the big thing that I have a problem, and this really started happening in Angel, was, you know, the world apocalypse and everyone being aware that there were supernatural creatures running around.
Yeah.
That kind of part of the appeal for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television series, was they were trying to keep it quiet and not let the word out about who the Slayer was or anything like that. And now it's almost like, oh, we're just walking down the street and, oh, let's talk to this normal person and they know who I am kind of thing. And or at least they know who Slayers are and they know that there are evil forces and monsters running around.
And that, I think, is a natural extension that kind of had to happen if you're going to keep this stuff
sure,
up.
Sure, sure.
Eventually, you have to drop that. I'm going to call it what it is, the masquerade. Even White Wolf dropped the masquerade and went into the full-fledged world of darkness because, yes, you can milk that and you can make great stories about that, but it's kind of like saying there are great stories you could tell about an unmasked Spider-Man.
Sure.
I feel like that limiting premise, occasionally you want to take that governor off, let your storytelling engine and go flat out nuts. And the post-apocalyptic or pseudo-apocalyptic world is, you know, a very hip concept now. Every third movie is about the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's just our natural tendency to, and I think we're going to see actually more of that as we get ready to hit the next decade, 2020 being kind of a big number for a lot of people. We're going to start seeing a lot more of that. What's that?
Like 1960. All the movies end of the world in the 1960s.
Yeah, and you saw it again in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And then especially with the Mayan calendar prophecy people, you saw a little bit of the world's end thing coming up there too.
Somewhere there's a Mayan going, "Dude, I ran out of paper," and his friend going, "That'll freak people out."
Yeah, this'll teach them.
Also, so, what's paper?
So for me, I like Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 10, issue number 1, out this week from Dark Horse Comics. I was going into it being prepared to be inundated with so much information that I didn't know. But right. By the end of the issue, I was like, you know what? They laid everything out for me perfectly to where I didn't feel lost or confused. And the art is fantastic. They do tone down a lot of the blood and decapitation stuff to where it's almost like the vampires are popping like a balloon instead of, you know, turning to dust and blowing away or blood splatters or anything like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the art is really good. The story's good. And if you're a Buffy fan, go pick it up.
I definitely agree. I have to say that I was on the fence as we got it all together. And I'm like, okay, this feels a lot like, you know, the setup for 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then Faith showed up with her kukri in hand. And she's like, "Hey, I'm Faith. How's it going?" I'm like, "I love you, Faith. I'm back now. I apologize for ever doubting you, Faith, because I love you, Faith." But yeah, it's a nice send off. I don't know how long. I figure probably 25 issues in this season. I don't know if they can do this forever. But season 10 seems to be off to a decent start. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a mystery at the core of it. There's some lovely emotional stuff. There's some nice interactions. And the Scooby Gang is back together in ways that they haven't been since the show.
Right.
And I think that right there is going to change the nature of what you've been reading in 8 and 9. So, yeah, I agree. This is interesting.
Cool. All right. Out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Blackout number 1, ElfQuest Final Quest number 2, Furious number 3, King Mr. Conan Fury. Conqueror number 2, Serenity Leaves on the Wind number 3 for all the Firefly fans.
Leaves. I am a leaf on the
and
wind.
And then Tomb Raider number 2 and Vandroid number 2. Rodrigo got a big kick out of Vandroid number 1.
He did.
Yeah. So number 2 comes out next week.
Maybe not.
DC Comics says The Adventures of Superman number 11, All-Star Western number 29, Batman the Dark Knight 29, Beware the Batman number 6, Dead Boy Detectives number 4, Flash number 29. Is Wally West back? He was just back in the annual, right?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been reading it.
Okay. Injustice Year 2 number 3. I really need to get in on this Forever Evil thing.
No, you don't.
I have not read, except for The Batman by Scott Snyder, I haven't read any DC comics except for the ones we've done on this show in over a year now.
I know I haven't read any of the Forever Evil stuff before issue 4. And I read issue 5 as it came across my desk this either last weekend or the weekend before. And I was just, I'm not the target audience. Let's put it that way.
Sandman Overture number 2 comes out next week.
Oh, let's do that.
Let's see what else is on the list first. Teen Titans number 29, World's Finest 21. Over at IDW Publishing, they have the Batman Silver Age Newspaper Comics Hardcover Collection Volume 1, 1966 to 1967. That's pretty interesting. Ghostbusters number 14. Godzilla Rulers of the Earth number 10, G.I. Joe Real American Hero number 200. That's a $5.99 book. $5.99 for the G.I. Joe 200. Rocky and Bullwinkle number 1. Star Slammers Remastered number 1. I like this. Some of the ways that they title and number things over at IDW makes me laugh. Transformers Dark Cybertron Finale number 1 part 12.
Yes, number 1 has 12 parts.
Oh boy.
It's an answer to a question in 4 parts with the third part first and the first part second.
X-Files Conspiracy number 2, also from IDW Publishing next week. Image Comics has Black Science number 1 and 2, reprintings of that. Bounce number 11.
Science!
Deadly Class number 3, Fatale number 21. The Krampus number 4, Manhattan Projects number 19. Protectors Inc. number 5, Real Heroes. Real Heroes number 1, wonder what that's about.
Real
Satellite
Heroes.
Sam number 7, Sex Criminals number 1, sixth printing of that one.
Sixth printing?
The sixth printing of Sex Criminals number 1.
Holy moly. That's impressive.
For, yeah, it is. Well, but yeah, typically though they do pretty low runs. So they probably, I bet you though, if they've done 3,000 copies on each run, yeah, that's still 18,000 comics sold. That's pretty good.
Real Heroes number 1 is Frank Cho. No, is Brian Hitch.
Okay.
6 famous actors who are in a movie together playing the Olympians. Read that as the Avengers.
Okay.
And they are asked to save the world.
There you
are
go.
They are only hope. What do
there
you think?
You go. Is that that's what we're going to review next week.
Real Heroes number one. Sold American.
Marvel Comics has Amazing X-Men number 5. Avengers Assemble 25. Captain America Homecoming number 1, Deadpool 26, Phantom X Max trade paperback.
Phantom X Max.
Hawkeye, there's a new issue of Hawkeye out next week for everybody who's into that.
Is it issue 15?
Issue number 18. 15 already came out. It came out like a week after 16 did. I know.
I know. I love America.
Miracle Man number 4. Are you reading the Miracle Man?
I am.
Are these still all the reprints?
Well, they're reprints, but I mean,
when do we get the all new Miracle Man now?
They're new remastered, recolored reprints with supplemental information and stuff. So, you know.
But when do we get the all new Miracle Man stories?
Probably not till about issue 24.
Ah, okay. Savage Wolverine number 16. Silver Surfer number 1 comes out next week. That's the Mike Allred art. Uncanny Avengers number 18. Uncanny X-Force trade paperback volume 3. Great Corruption. Winter Soldier Bitter March number 1. Second printing of that one. Of course, Captain America the Winter Soldier is opening left and right. They did their Los Angeles premiere last week. We ran photos for that. They just sent me the photos from last night's London premiere. Can't wait to see that Winter Soldier movie. Saw some good pictures of Falcon, the Diamond Select Toys action figure that they have based on the Falcon from the movie. Looks really cool.
Very cool.
I like the Falcon that came in my Lego set.
I like, does he have red wings?
Yes, he does. And they're translucent too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Falcon's got to have red wings.
Yeah. And a red suit and everything. He's got the, for those people who have been playing with Lego for years, his hair is the Bruce Wayne hair from one of the early sets. Kind of slick back kind of thing. Still looks cool. Oh, yeah. When we look at all the rest, we have Adventure Time coming out next week. We have Bloody Brat graphic novel volume 1. Bravest Warriors number 18. Bunker number 2.
Bunker.
Oh, boy, Matthew, here you go. Crossed Badlands number 50. That series made it to 50 issues.
Good Lord.
I know you want to check it out.
I'm not going to review it. I might check it out.
Dim Sum Warriors graphic novel volume 2, Feast of Fury.
All that and Dim Sum.
Yep. Doc Savage number 4. Game of Thrones number 19. Oh, that series is still going on. I thought I hadn't seen that in a while.
I haven't either.
Maybe
I'm wondering.
Been on hiatus and came back. Lone Ranger's kind of been that same way, where it like disappeared at issue 18, and it came back almost 6 months later.
Well, and it may be natural breaks between things, or maybe that's how long it took to make an issue. I don't know.
Glorkian Warrior Delivers a Pizza graphic novel.
I'm in. What is it?
I don't know. I don't know who it's
by. I'm
going
to buy a book with a name
G-L-O-R-K-I-A-N. Glorkian Warrior delivers a pizza graphic novel. I'm going to bet that's by Paper Cuts.
Widget and I actually use the word Glork in regular conversation. Glork is the word for anything that mom makes that we can't identify it. Some people would call it a casserole. It's Glork. We're going to have some Glork for dinner, Stephen. Would you like to have Glork?
No. This is being published by... it's James Kochalka. Kochalka.
Yeah. He's the guy who did...
he does the art for the brain...
he did brain that game. Super F-Words comic.
American Elf is what he's done before.
I think he did Blankets, didn't he? Or am I thinking
maybe.
He did something called, I think, Dragon Puncher.
Yeah, the art looks kind of interesting. Maybe people will check that out.
Could be.
Hacktivist number 3. Speaking of...
isn't that written by Alyssa Milano?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Interesting. I haven't checked that out yet.
It's a pretty big deal on the first issue release. Everybody was talking about it.
Alyssa Milano.
Legends of Red Sonja number 5, Midas Flesh number 4. My Little Phony, a Brony Adventure one-shot. Regular Show number 11, Simpsons Illustrated number 10. Tarot Witch of the Black Rose number 85.
That show. They're still making tarot. God, I love that and hate that. This guy has been doing that book himself for 15 years.
Well, like she is still running around.
Yeah, but she has not been consistent. She has been, you know, bits and pieces here, sporadic. And the bit series here. Whereas, you know, Tarot Witch of the Black Rose, he's been making an issue
since,
and putting it out.
Mid-90s, early 90s.
Probably not as long as Spawn, but kind of in that same ballpark. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I think Tarot and Savage Dragon are an example of some of the best of the worst of comics, because it's a guy who loves what he does so much that he does it. And he doesn't care if you love it. He doesn't care if he sells 100,000 issues. And that's wonderful.
Let's see if there's any cool merchandise coming out next week. Now, of course, this is just a listing from Diamond Select Toys. I tend to show up at my gaming and toy stores on Tuesday to see what they've laid out. But next week we've got Avengers Conference, Black Widow and Punisher. Oh, this is the animated movie. I haven't watched this one yet. That comes out next week. Might be out now. DC Comics Supergirl Artifact Statue, the new 52 version. So that means it's got the sucky costume. Ghostbusters 24-inch Stay Puft Marshmallow Man Bank. $124 for that.
But it's 14 inches tall.
No, 24 inches tall.
Oh my gosh, that's almost as tall as my kid when she was born.
Yeah. Let's see. Star Wars Darth Vader Light Up Chopsticks. And Star Wars Luke Skywalker Light Up Chopsticks. I've got some, they're not light up, but I do have some chopsticks from lightsabers, and that was from... Kotobukiya put those out. Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
I do want those. Eating with chopsticks is actually one of my stupid pet tricks.
I think a lot of people can do it.
Well, I'm not saying that I'm the only person in the world.
Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm eating with chopsticks.
Well, you know what? You go to Wuhan on a Sunday afternoon, and you really want to sit there and go, you know what? Chill out, white people with chopsticks. We get it. You're amazing. Just chill. Calm down. Have some dip. Okay? I too am Caucasian with the chopsticks and feel like a ninja, but just, you know, maybe cut back on the whole flashy chopsticking.
Is that what people are doing?
Yes. You go to like the Mongolian barbecue, which by the way here is wonderful. You go to the Japanese restaurant where I get my sushi.
Mm-hmm.
You get people in there who are like, they're like, whoa, with the chopsticks. It's like that moment in Indiana Jones where the guy comes out with a scimitar and he's like, and you really just want to pull out your gun and shoot him because you have dysentery.
I think I'm going to talk to my wife next time we go have sushi to bring our own chopsticks instead of the little wooden ones that they give us. that you have to break apart. The lightsaber ones, yes. Okay. Yeah. In fact, I've got I've got a Darth Maul ones that connect in the middle.
Nice. Nice.
Which I think is kind of cool.
I would like that. That would be kind of neat.
I got a Buffy question. Maybe you can answer this for me. Did they ever explain why they had the dark arts collection at Sunnyvale High School or Sunnydale High School?
Well, I don't know that they overtly explained it, but I know that Rupert Giles in his youth was a wild, magic-y risk-taker kind of hellion.
Yeah.
And I think it may have been his collection that they were reading.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because you remember when he was a kid, he was Ripper, and he would get into all sorts of magical trouble.
Yeah, there was talk about doing a Ripper series at one point. Didn't they even do a pilot of Ripper?
I think at one point they were talking about BBC doing a Ripper series with Anthony Heed, but he was he's like 100.
Oh, I guess it was undeveloped.
He's a wonderful human being, and I love him, and I'd watch the heck out of that show, but he's like 100. I think they were going to do like a young version where Anthony Stewart would like do narration. He's like, and then when I was 14.
Yeah.
Then you have like Daniel Radcliffe out there being all hellion and something.
Cool. I just didn't know if they explained it because it just seems rather weird that you would have this dark arts collection at a public school library.
Well, it's a public school library like, on the Hellmouth.
Well, that's true, too. I can just imagine that there'd be, you know, like high school kids are off to do with their history books, you know, like penises and mustaches drawn on all the demons in the book.
Yeah, all the good spells are highlighted from the kid who had it last year. Yeah. Try this one. It makes everybody's undergarments jump 5 feet to the left.
All right, everybody. I think that wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you for listening and thank you for downloading and sharing with a friend. If you want to help us out, we could really use your help. And if you think that this episode was worth 50 cents a month, or if you think all of the shows that we put out, somewhere around 10, I think right now, or close to 10 podcasts that we produce each month are worth at least 10 cents a piece, 20 cents a piece. Consider becoming a recurring member. Become a VIP over at members.majorspoilers.com. Your help ensures that all the things that we do can continue to go on. And we may even be able to hit a mark very soon, hopefully soon, where we can start developing even more projects for you to consume. Because that's the kind of people we are. Always wanting to create stuff for your enjoyment, your entertainment, your amusement, whatever it may be. Members.majorspoilers.com. All the information's over there, Matthew.
619.
619?
Booyaka, booyaka, 619.
Okay. We're not asking for anyone to sign up for $619 a month, but if you'd like to, I'm sure we could arrange something.
We'll set you up.
$10 a month. We appreciate everyone who does everything that that they do. Why? Because we know that you love comics, and we do too, and we will be back next week for another Dueling Review.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.